什么他后书三章说的，
学到不转对神的历史作为，而且神的旨意能够了解。
According to God's grace, just like described in 2 Timothy, we do His grace to understand the scripture.
那就说我们学习道理，来可以长进，可以学到神要我们做的义，那灵性上可以提升。
So we may be edified through studying the scripture.
那在督责、教训使人能够有益处的。
And this.Could be
第三章十五十六节那里。
In the second Timothy chapter 3 told us this exhortation might be edified people.
但是我们通常听了连续的道理比较多。
But most of the time we study the spiritual teaching.
那听的道理又是比较片段的。
And sometimes this teaching could be really fragmentation.
但是我们对圣经总体的那个认识，也应该。借着有系统的查考来深入。
But overall, we should also systematically study Bible and to have a comprehensive understanding.
尤其我们主内的青年，对圣经更应该全面性的或者比较深入性的这样的掌握。
Especially for the youth in the church, we should have a comprehensive and deep understanding of Bible.
我记得1983年左右，在德国就法国、英国，我们就开始。对学生，尤其在读书的，都每年都有大概10天到2个礼拜的密集的神学那个研讨会。
So way back in 1983 in France and Germany, the student around the area every year we have around 2 weeks of theological seminar.
那他们就真的是用比较有学习性的，不是普通的这种普通层面。那所以说他们系统的深入到圣经对比如说他的文他的历史道理和神学他们的掌握。
So during the seminar, we were systematically studying the Bible from the historical or more literally, at those aspects.
所以我也希望说我们主内的青年应该就不要只说散漫的深入的将来把道理这样从扎根在向上发展。
So I also have the expectation that our youth could study our Bible deeply.
因为现在的那个大专或者中学的灵修会、灵恩会，大部分都是主题性的讲道，那会应该更深入的就没有机会、没有时间。
Because most of the time our theological seminar or the student spiritual convocation are usually have a main thing or topic.
所以就当然要看源头跟使用的材料，这样才可以加深的了。
But it also depends on the material, if it allow us to study Bible deeply.
好，我们今天呢就来用两堂时间呢，就来查考圣经，用说我们如何进入圣经里头比较重要的层面。这样来给我们一个好像投石头引路的这样的一个工作。
So today we use morning and after section study Bible in different aspects.
我们知道英文有两个字眼一个就是解经 exegesis。
So in English there are two meaning. One called
exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S, exegesis 解经的
So the meaning is to explain the Bible.
那第二个就是那释义的 hermeneutics.
And the second one is
hermeneutics. 那简单说，第一个就是把它分解，就是圣经说的按着真理来分解神的道理。
And the second part means to dissect the content.
按着神的正确的那圣经的文本的正确的意思来分解它。
And according to the context and God's will to explain it.
那这是提摩太后书二章十五节的那句话。
So this could actually refer on the Second Timothy chapter 2.
你要在神面前做无愧的工人，那按着正义正确的意思来分解神的道理。
It told us that we should present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed.
And then,
and rightly divide the word of truth.
Rightly, 就正确地来分解神的道理。
So we should be able to divide the word of the truth rightly.
那我们假定我们读比较深的古文啊，或者洋文的时候，我们会做一道的那个解分解的工作。
So when we read an original scripture or more complicated
text.那你就要，譬如说要注，要注注了哈。我用中文讲的，要注了，要解了，要疏了，那翻译的意义。我那那是 say you need to explain, annotate, and then you need to translate. 然后呢，你就要知道它的意思是什么。
So we should study the scripture from many different aspects, including explanation or interpretation.
那这样的话你就可以知道说哦，原文这个文本是这个意思，不是我用我们的中文或者用现代文现代思想来了解而已。
So that would allow us to understand the true meaning of the scripture.
那就中时代的文本 那个文本 text、
To be able to faithfully interpret the context.
但是呢 就在查考当中我们会发现它有上下文 context.
But during our study, we could also see that it has its own context.
那个这个字或这个句有它的内在，有它的包含的意思。
And there are a different meaning in the whole sentence.
那我们就来说吧，那 来看，就用大家熟悉的马太福音二十章的。
So today I want to use one story that we all familiar with in the book of Matthew.
那就是说有一个我们说葡萄园做工的比喻。
It's a vineyard, a parable of vineyard and wages.
那当然我们马上就查找到圣经里头占了大概33%，我应该说三分之一的那个主耶稣的教训，可是用比喻的形式来展现。
So one third of the teaching from Jesus Christ are demonstrated by parables.
那 parable 那这个比喻是什么意思
？So what does it mean to have a parable to demonstrate?
因为它是一个从古到今的一个文体，一个 genre， 一个 literary type。
It's one type of literal written.
那这样看起来就是说它有一个固定的含义。
It has a specific meaning.
意思就是说比喻就是说 side by side, juxtaposition, 就把它放在一起。
It's a juxtaposition that side by side to compare.
那就是说有很熟悉的这个事情。你常常看到的日常生活的事物。
So use the things that we all familiar with.
然后它摆着另外一边，让你要进去的就比较深奥的，这个属灵的那个，尤其是天国的道理。
So use that as a one side of meaning to lead us into the deeper meaning of the spiritual teaching.
那古时候的人通常读一个经文呢，它会有四个层面的意思。
In the past, there are four different meanings when people read the scripture.
那么主内的青年也许需要知道一下一个就是说 literal 字面上的意义。
First of all, it's a literal meaning.
那第二个呢？就是他们有一个字眼，就是那个 topological， 就是它的灵意、属灵的意思。
Second one is topological, means the spiritual meaning.
还有一个就是 moral 方面的。就是说有道理教训性的。
And third one is from moral aspect.
然后一个 anagogical 就指向将来的理想的，要完美的，要一个 consummation， 一个总结的一个倾向依归。
And the last one is analogical.
所以说这样 anagogical。好，那所以这样说来我们就要读的时候要注意，很简单就很简单。
So when we read the scripture, we should pay attention.
他说，所以就说你们要吃饭，好好的吃，哦，不要吃到有含笑东西。假设怎么说，那我们就知道吃饭的道理而已。
For example, something could be simple as our daily diet.
啊，咱主要说你们吃的时候要防止那个笑啊，那个 leaven 啊。反正尤其法利赛人跟撒都该人的笑，那时候就要思考了。
And for example, the further meaning tell us to avoid the yeast.
啊，那这个就是因为在圣经的这个笑，在旧约时代用在献祭，跟在主耶稣时代他们说话不合正道、不合正确的道理，或叫做异说异端，那就偏差的。的一种教训。
So those yeast could mean the coat at the end time when people preach.
那这样说来哈，这 leaven 我们的意思是用的 leaven 是圣经的用语。这个 leaven 的话就是哦，原来就是说不是面包吃饭的问题，那就是说要防止宗教上的假冒为善。OK.
So the meaning of the Latin can mean to avoid the hypocrisy.
或者说你要防止他们说的异端呢 ，heresy.
Or to be careful about the heresy.
所以这样说来，他这个一个笑这个字眼，它就有啊当代的主耶稣讲的环境跟它深入的含义。
So this.Words could mean the historical meaning back at the time.
好，我们来看那个马太二十章这个比喻啊，我们就知道是一个操作做工的比喻。
So let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. This is about work.
但是呢，其中啊，我们先把它来分段来看。
So first of all, we separate them into different sections.
第一个就是说，你可以从一节啊到就从他比喻的开始，做工这个字眼的开始，然后呢到要分工资的那晚上，傍晚截止。
So first of all, it's parable of work and then the wages.
那你看到他这里头有一个天国好比这个 householder 就家主。他去雇人来进入他的葡萄园做工。
So here first say that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out to seek for labors.
那也就是说他已经有邀请人，这个世界上的人，进入到这个神的园，这个葡萄园来做工，这个工这个字眼。
It means there's invitation to allow people to enter the heaven to work.
那我们知道在比喻里头，家主通常是指的主人神，或者主耶稣。
And here we know this then owner represent God.
或者主耶稣。
Or Jesus Christ.
那你就开始想到哪个地方，主耶稣说家主跟他仆人关系，家主或者要举办那个宴席这样的事情。
So we could reflect on the master and his servant or the banquet that hosts by the owner.
就要知道说他有什么含义。
So we should know what's the meaning behind those.
所以说不管他跟仆人关系，或者他这个宴请或者宴席这样的一个场合，都是说神的邀请，恩典的邀约吧。
So no matter in the setting of the banquet or the relationship between master and his servant, we could see the invitation from the owner.
那就从旧约时代，你看到神的呼唤，神的邀约了，这是一直在是很鲜明的主题的。
So start from the Old Testament, we see that God's invitation is a very vivid topic.
譬如说你可以想到。先知书里头，你就马上想先知书的神怎么邀请？
For example, in the book of prophets, how does God invite?
那你就会想到以赛亚书5:5。
For example, in Isaiah chapter 55.
那因为他邀请人来进他的筵席，或喝他的水。
He invite people to the banquet to drink the water.
那另外一个就是说，先知书的时候，常常神邀请说：“回来吧，来就近我要给你的话语和恩典。”
We also often see in the prophet book that God recall his people.
所以这个就是我们在平常修养当中就要了解说，一个主题有旧约、新约， 啊，甚至起初最后也神，主耶稣说来吧，或者圣灵邀请说来吧，来喝生命的活水。
So when we touch one topic, we should reflect, both at Old Testament and New Testament.
所以可能最后的启示都要受到神的邀请，啊，主耶稣的邀请。
And for example, reflect on here as God's invitation.
In the Revelation chapter 22, 哈，那所以这样说来，你应该我们在做学生的有这种 perception 跟这样的，应该有个左右逢源的这样的。圣经的知识了。
So we should have the knowledge that allow us to have perception when we read the scripture.
好，那另外就是说，你看呢，这个雇人进葡萄园做工的工作的这个字眼。
And here specifically talk about to hire labor to work in the vineyard.
那 work 这个字眼哈，其实它有三个同样的意义的三个不同的字。
So there are three different words could represent the same meaning of work.
啊，那意思就是说，当雅各书讲说那个信心要有行为，那个行为的字。
So in the book of James, talk about the work of faith.
然后要有地的。
It's the deed.
啊，那这个行为。还有就是说，你们要结果子，那个是果子，那 fruit。
And the second one is the reflection on the fruit that we bear。
那跟这边的 work 啊，这边的工作。
And the last one is the work that indicate here。
就像水果的果，这个果子来表现的那个字眼。
And this could represent the fruit。
Represented by fruit。那这个意思就是说。你一个字你会想到哦，有它的 synonymous， 有它的 synonyms， 有它的同义词。
So the, from one word it could develop different
one word it would have the three synonyms synonyms 啊，那这意思就是说 these work fruit 都是一个字，都是同样的观念。
For example the work fruit deedsAll represent one same meaning.
所以古时候神就真的希望以色列民能够结出果子。
Just like God has expectation for Israel to bear fruit.
那新约时代也要有信心的行为，那个果子。
In the New Testament, that's represent on our deed.
那你就想哦，保罗书信有很多，譬如说很多的果子这样的，对，勉励我们大家结出来。
From Paul's letter, encouraged us to bear fruit.
啊，比如说公义的果，仁义的果子。
Like fruit of righteousness.
啊，比如说要有那个，这个希伯来书的十三章的捐书的果子，说颂赞的果子。
Or like the fruit of praise.
啊，还有一个就是要圣洁的果子。
Fruit of holiness.
那简单说，要达到刚才说的这公义的，要捐书了，是吧？你就要有真的去结出来那个行为，使出来的行动。
And to be able to bear those fruits and require deeds.
你说有爱心，但看到人，你就塞住怜悯的心，不帮助他，不扶持他，那你就没有这个爱心的果子行为。
So without action, those love wouldn't be able to bear and become fruit.
啊，所以说这样说了，要有行动、动作、行，像这个异地的来完成这样的一个工作，来完成这样的结果。
Which means it require action.、
所以你这样思考的时候，就知道哦，原来一个字有它的必须要有的同义，甚至有反义哦，那安托尼。但是你就知道哦，原来这三个字观念是连在一起。
So we could see three different words, and but their meaning is connected.
那假定说我们说神要求旧约时代、新约时代跟现在的我们都要有果子的时候
，So for example, God asks us to be able to bear fruit.
那你就会想到，哎呀，主耶稣他在圣城的时候，他先做了三个重要的动作，他进圣城以后。
So you can reflect on the three important actions that Jesus Christ demonstrated after he entered the Holy Temple.
那他以王尊这种的弥赛亚这样的进入到他自己的诚意的他自己的圣城。
He was like a king, a Messiah entered his own
kingdom. 就好像旧约时代就一直在盼望有这个君王，这个得胜君王，神的高，神的个基督，神受高，是高神，神高立的，那他要做那个救主。
Just like the hope in the Old Testament that Israelites was waiting for anointed one to enter the kingdom.
当然，我们的英文上有一个叫做 Royal Messianism 这个观念，你就马上知道说啊，这就旧约时代的，一直到现在还在，就是弥赛亚的期许啊，叫 Messianic expectation 这样的一个历史愿望。
So you know there is a historical background that Israelites were waiting and looking for their Messiah.
那其实主耶稣就是那个大卫子孙，那个君王，那个神的儿子，神的所立的，就是要应验旧约一直民间的一个盼望。
But Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of David, Son of God, and represent this promise that from God.
那这样进来以后，他主耶稣做了三件动作。
And Jesus had three actions after he entered.
一个洁净圣殿啊。
First of all, he cleaned the holy temple.
然后还再来就是他看到，无花果，他要找果子吃。
And second, he was looking for the fig.
然后呢，他就知道他找不到，所以他就说：“那，你从今以后不要再结果了。”
But he couldn't find the figs, so he told the fig tree that you should be withered.
那这个是我们叫做象征动作。
So this is a symbolic meaning.
啊，因为哎，先不理哈 ，action。那一个就是说，这个旧的圣殿，旧的旧约规模已经要把它洁净掉，因为太陈腐了。
First of all, is to abolish the Old Testament.
他用新的心灵的殿，属灵的崇拜来代替形式的崇拜。
He want to use the spiritual worship to replace those very ritual worship.
那再来呢？他也就是说，要旧约时代以来，以色列百姓没有办法结果子，没有办法想履行律那个神跟百姓的约。
Secondly,
所以他要弃绝他自己的百姓。
Because Israel couldn't bear the fruit, and so he would have to abandon them.
好，所以这样说来，我们就可以看到这个咒诅无花果树不是单一的要找果子来吃一吃失望，他是说有含着说从此以后有别的要替代这个不会结果子的无花果。
So the reason that he cursed the fig tree, not just because he couldn't find the fruit to fit himself, but it has a spiritual meaning behind.
那你这样看起来，无花果，还有一个就橄榄，还有一个就是什么葡萄，这三个这个果树，是在给固定的来代表神的百姓的这个象征符号。
So you can see from the fig tree and olive and the vineyard here.All represent the same meaning.
所以你在圣经看到的都是常常就出现这三种果子。
So these three fruits are very commonly seen in the Bible.
比如说在葡萄园里头，你可以看到有无花果，除了葡萄藤以外，还有无花果树。
So in the vineyard, you could also see the fig tree.
那你在这个犹太旷野山野上头，到处都有看到这个橄榄树。
In the wilderness or the mountainside of Israel, you can also see the olive.
那甚至在克西马尼园，那个克西马尼 ，Gethsemane， 这个也是说榨葡萄的这个地方，葡萄榨。
So the Gethsemane is also a place that to press wine.
所以就 wine 就 wine press 就是真正在榨葡萄油的地方。
It's a vine plant.
所以你就从古代就想啊，原来在四世纪第九章有这三种果树的出现。
So from the book of Judges, you can see these three different trees appear.
第九章开始那里说，葡萄就有无花果葡这个橄榄跟这个葡萄，他们都要被他们在树要邀请他们个别的做他们的王。
So in the chapter 9 of
trees, and we'd like to invite all of us.
God wants to invite one kind of tree to become the king of trees.
那不是，那是种树要邀请，但是要高丽这个。高丽，对，一个一个的要想请他们做王。
So all the tree asks a different tree to be the king.
All the trees would like to ask either olive, a fig, or a vine to be their king.
So all the trees ask olive trees and fig trees and vine to be their king.
所以用这三种树啊，来代表说在民的众民当中啊。那神就是说他百姓要立任何一个可以当他们的王，那就用这个树来代表。
So those trees represent the
Israelites.
The Israelites.
那但是他这些葡萄啦、无花果啦、跟这个橄榄都说，我不要做王，
but,
我要尽我本分，记住这个事。那我尽我本分来生产。
Olive tree, fig tree, and vine all decline this invitation. They only want to do their job.
那这个故事就说，原来，这个以色列民这个国中，他们假如要被立王，他们都会拒绝的，因为不应该用人的王制来代替神的统治。
That means that in the kingdom of man, we shouldn't use our own will to.Anointed certain people.
因为英文的一个 divine kingship 应该是就是神作王的这个主权应该要维持到底的。
Because the kingship is belong to the God, not the man.
所以这样说来，就那个故事里头也给我们讲到，也是比喻，但是也是历史的反应。
So here, from the story of tree, it's a parable, but it also.Reflect on the historical.
因为当时那个，你看《沙漠记》上八章到十章就有这种记载，百姓说要跟外邦一样要立王。
This could be also seen from the First Samuel that people were grumbling and argued to have their own king.
那但沙漠跟神说，神就不喜欢了，因为他们不要弃绝我，但任凭他们吧。但是他们要享受这个利王，他们要忍受这个利王的这个恶果、坏的结果。
So God was not pleased by their request, but He still allowed them.
好，所以我们可以看到这个利王的故事，也是有历史说，以色列民已经从神的制 theocratic society 从神制的社会要变成这个。这个 monarchy 的帝王的这个制度，神不喜欢的。
So, from those story, we see that Israelites' mindset switch from the divine kingship to man's.
To human kingship.
To human kingship.
好。那这个这里头还有一个就是我们可以看到这。果，他们这三种果子说，我们要尊重我们本分来生产，来对神对人的益处，所以他们不要飘摇在众树之上，来做他们的王，这个是一个很好的教训。
And from the reaction of three different trees, that they only want to do their own job, we could see this is a very good nature of them.
好，这是很好的教训。
This is a very good teaching.
好，所以我们刚才就从第一节就说到做工，葡萄园，它在圣经里头有它的普遍的定义，跟有它的特定的意义的含义在里头。
So we see there's a specific meaning of vineyard and work in throughout the whole Bible.
那我们来看哈，这个时候，假定看中就有。用天干地支来算时间啊，不知道天干地支，甲乙丙丁就是天干，那子丑寅卯一直到十二个就是叫地支啊。
So in Chinese we have a certain way to measure time.
但是呢，我们看到这个早上的哈，从比如说从早上六点钟到晚上六点钟，这、就是他们的白天，这、就是一这在。那个地方以色列的那个地方大地区的那个 时间的算法。
For example, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. could count as a daytime in the land of Israel.
就叫做12小时
,12 hours.
So it's total 12 hours of daytime.
所以用从第一个小时你的6再加3那就等于9点钟。
So the first section of the daytime it's from 6 to 9 a.m.
不是就是说他们这样进步到第一个时间比如说在进去邀请进去九点钟、
so、first,
我们这里有四二五就是九点钟
so the first invitation it's along the period from for the first 3 hours
你再看第六个钟头就是午时中午的午那就十二点钟午正
and then after 6 hours it's around the noon time
那还有一个第九小时就是那右那就是下午的三点钟
And then the third one is at the time around 3 p.m.
所以这样说表示用不同的时间来描写说这个工作都没有还是需要神去邀请人来做工得工作的果效或者工资
So at three different times God invited the people to come to work and have then earn their wages
那甚至到最后一个小时比如说五点钟了六点钟要关门还是请人来进来的。
So even late at the 5 p.m. An hour before the vineyard closed, there's an invitation for people to come to.
那从葡萄园这个有固定就是神的家啊，说神的园地啊。
So from God's land, represent here as the vineyard.
那就是神的园地 ，the territory or domain.
As the territory of God.
那你就要被他邀请进来。因为这是神恩典的邀约所以你来领受神要给你得工资的这样的恩典
So we receive this invitation this grace to be able to enter the vineyard to work and
但是呢白白的来进入你不要有什么样的代价但是你要得到神恩典也要有劳力啊要有实际行动啊
So this invitation is freely given to us by enable to receive wages we need to put into work
而且就是一个要得工资也是一个约定啊神说或者主人说给你工资
and it's also a commitment to give you the wages
那这个工资就是一文钱就是一天的工资
and the wages per day is one denarius
那就当时一天的工资 denarius 这样一个价目所以你就可以看到这里家主代表神那在不同地方的人代表民众那进入到神的园地来领受他的那个真理的恩典
So here the landowner represents God invited the worker which means us people to enter the kingdom of God
那就是说神的恩典门有开放的时间
And it also means that there is a time for the door of grace to open
就好像人的生命或者在白天白天有这个太阳的日太阳的亮光到晚上你就暗了
Also there is only light available during the daytime but not the night
那你生命我们个人生命也是眼睛看着亮光生命的白昼
It's also like there is a limitation of our life
你就可以看到所以说眼睛看到的跟这个生命的亮光跟这个主耶稣说的说他是世上的光来到人间然后他的恩典能开放的时间是平行的意思就是说你要两方面的体会
So the meaning of daytime or the indication and the teaching that God is the light we could also reflect on the time of our life
这两个意就是在圣经里头有光的道理这个 the teaching about light
So this is the teaching about light
比如说约翰福音最清楚
It's clearly demonstrated in the book of John
但我就只说最后12章36节37节那就主耶稣说要趁着有光你要行走
So Jesus told us to walk in the light
要做光明之子信从这光
To be son of light
那当然三章八章九章跟十一章十二章都有这个道理说你真的要做工你要走路要信从
So we should be able to walk during daytime and walk in the light and follow the light
说因为你这个黑暗一到你会跌倒你会看不到你就再也不能做工了
Because we couldn't see clearly in the dark, and we cannot work in the night.
那也就是说，眼睛闭起来，已经离世的时候，要什么都没了，黑暗了。或者说，神一来，他把恩典门一关，那你没有机会来信主、来得救了。
For example, when we close our eyes, lift these words, and open the door of the grace closed, we no longer have the opportunity.
所以说，这个神的邀约有这个定时，就好像人神给了健康生命有的定时，一天的十二个小时来比喻吧。
So there is a time limitation for this grace to open to us.
所以说，这个就让我思考，这的确，人不管在九章青春时代，在中年时代，甚至在晚年时代，最后一个钟头的六点五前的一个钟头，也都要接受神的邀请。
This tells us that no matter at what age you receive this invitation, you should strive to enter this vineyard.
那你做工了，
And then you need to
好，那现在我们就进到最后一段。
So that's look at the
那就是他开始按着神的约定，因为神是信实的 ，faithful， 神是费心实的，他不会违约的。
So based on his promise, God is faithful.
因为他在保罗书信说，神不会违背自己的话。
Paul also told us that God is faithful, and he won't forget about his promise.
所以他会照着他的约定，圣经的约定。来给我们应得的工资，应得的代价。
So according to the commitment that given, he will give the wages accordingly.
那这约定或者这约啊，就让我想起圣经的约到底是什么意思。
So we could think about the meaning of the covenant that recorded in the Bible.
那 Berit 哈，那这个你翻译英文的时候呢，就有条约哈，契约这些很多不同的方向。国跟国，民跟民，然后商业之间的，啊，还有说这个统称起来，这个约的关是什么？There are the treaties, the pacts, or parley, or a contract, and lots of implications concerning the one word, the divine human contract, or so-called the Berit covenant. 那什么意思？所以这样说来，我们就说，单单约定，你就当一个神学生或当一个普通的，然后的就需要查考圣经，就要说约到底有什么意思。
So what's the meaning of a covenant or the contract？
是什么意思
？What does it mean？
从哪里起源的
？Where it's original？
它的特质是什么
？What's the characteristic of this？
然后呢，它的内容是什么
？What's the content in it？
所以这个就是。我们一定要在查考的时候马上反应，哦，是这个，马上要出来。
So when we study scripture, we have to be able to think about all those aspects.
那圣经里头有关到这守约，神是守约施慈爱的神。
In Bible told us that God kept His promise, His faithful.
God is a covenant keeping, a faithful God.
He kept His own covenant.
所以我们可以知道，就是约原来从亚当开始。
And the covenant could first start from Adam.
然后呢，在挪亚的时代。
And continue to the time of Noah.
还有亚伯拉罕的时候。
And also the time of Abraham.
亚伯拉罕时代就很重要的，因为它有关土地、迦南地跟它的后裔。
And it's especially demonstrated at the time of Abraham through the land or his offspring.
然后很重要就是那个西乃山契约的。
And also the covenant from the Mount Sinai.
我们叫 Sinaitic covenant. 那这个西乃山契约最重要是在讲什么
？So what's the content of the Sinaitic covenant？
那我们通常叫做 law given， 神给他的律法。那这律法是什么意思？
The content is about the law given by the God.
一个就是诫命。
First of all is the commandment.
然后叫 Decalogue， 等一下就是十条诫命。再来就是宗教规矩，以礼仪方面的规定，叫做 ordinances， 叫做那个律例。
And then it comes from the ordinance.
再来呢，第三个就是民跟民之间社会运行之道，就叫做典章。
And then third one is
civic law,
civic law.
那这个典章叫 judgments， 在King James 叫 judgments。
From KJV, it used the word judgment.
然后呢，在那个 RSB 就是用那个 statutes.
Other scripture use statute.
那这个 statute 这是有关，比如说赔偿了，互相得优惠了，得就是人以平等公平的原则来相处，然后无神的公义怜悯原则。
So these are all the social judgment that between human and according to God's will.
简单说，你不能你在做生意的时候就不能有欺诈的行为。
For example, there shouldn't be any deceitful act during the business.
或者说你不能挪移地界，人家田是这么大，那你慢慢把那个田埂放，人家挪都不能过去，暗暗的透过去。
Or you shouldn't gain from people's land.
那这些哈都是很平常，但是都是合乎人的人道主义的公道原则的。
So those are the common things that are between humans.
那摩西律法就从这个诫命律例典章是可以随时有时候条件说不太一样，律例也是这样的一直下来这样子。
So this is from Mosaic law and to a different regulation between humans.
然后呢，就这变成犹太教的最根本的大法，就根本的立教的根基。
And this become the foundation of Jews.
Judaism.
Judaism.
那这样说来，我们就可以看到哦，原来律法这个契约是用律法做根本啊，这很明显的观念。
So we could see the covenant is based on the law.
那我们问了，那主要是废除律法什么？废除什么
？Then we shall ask, does Jesus abolish the law?
是什么样的律法？
What's the law?
是全部废掉吗？
Is it all abolished?
没有，他说一点一画都不能废去。
Jesus said that he did not abolish.
意思就是说，他的精神，他的那写在这个你看到的都不能废去。
Which means whatever you see and read, it cannot be abolished.
或者他一定要教导的那原则精神不能废去。
The principle, the teaching and meaning couldn't be abolished.
你就是说知道他的原则、他的立场、加他的那个精神在哪，你自然而然就会做应该做的事。
So if you know the meaning and the principle behind those teaching, you should be able to reflect on it.
那就很多繁琐的那种教规了、规矩了、仪文了，就可以，因为是旧约的规模，在新约时代主的给的是自由，给的是恩典，给的是属灵原则，所以你就不需要被绑在，那会妨碍你的自居。
But we shouldn't be bounded by those detailed, trivial written regulation because God's grace has opened us.
你可以用哥罗西书二章十四节到十六节做一个专门，这样妨碍人的那些，比如说要用牛羊去献祭啦，要什么说日子禁食啦，要有什么饭前不能不洗手啦，在安息日不能劳动啦，这个都已经废去了。
So those tradition of a lot of ritual acts are abolished.
好，那意思就是说，我们知道说律法有这样的精神面跟它的那个字句面。
So we know there is a spiritual meaning or the literal meaning of those written laws.
好，那还有一个，就除了西乃山契约以后，还有一个很重要的大卫的契约。
And another important covenant is the covenant of David.
那当然就借着先知拿单，神应许大卫的一件重要的事。
So through the prophet Nathaniel, God promised David
Nathan,
an important covenant.
那也就跟你可以查的是，暂时不要翻好了，要念撒母耳记下七章十一节到十七节。Second Samuel chapter 7.
So this is recorded in the Second Samuel.
那就是说你的子孙，你大的子孙跟子孙的子孙要永远坐在王位上头。十六节那里，十五节那里。
So it recorded that the kingship of David will be inherited.
会啊，有永远，它永远永固哈，永远 everlasting， 那叫 forever perpetual。嗯。那也就是说，那个神要大卫子孙不断有人做王位，不做国位。
That means God allow David's descendants to continue as a king.
啊，对对 ，the kingship。啊，那但是呢，其实这个是在讲精神方面，因为历史上没有永远，这个国度没有长存下来。
But this represent a spiritual meaning because in the history there's not one kingdom everlasting.
因为以后就分裂成南北王朝。
For example, Israel divided to north and south kingdom.
然后就被那个亚述跟巴比伦毁灭了。
And they were conquered by Syria and the Babylonian kingdom.
Syria.那所以我们可以看到这个不是指的永远的在地面上的国位。
So this kingship doesn't mean the kingdom in the world.
所以这个是很重要主题的 kingdom of God, the kingship in the Bible. 那你就要从旧约一直到新约，然后从犹太人的运动来看，但是我们了解主耶稣这样成全这个王位是指着神的属灵王国的。
So the kingship, the meaning of kingship through Bible has very important teaching, and according to different historical background, and now it's fulfilled by Jesus Christ.
好，我们这段这一段哈，就是说叫约定的约，但叫做银子。
So we talk about according to the promise.According to the covenant, those workers will get wages.
那结果呢？我们可以看到，再来第二个重要的观念就是，我们人会以为说必然应该是这样子的。
So second important thing is that we often have our own assumption, we take it for granted.
那这个就是圣经也是很重要的，常常神的旨意是这样子，然后主耶稣的教导是这样子。
For example, God's teaching, Jesus' teaching is like this.
但是有时候门徒的反应、想法错以为是那样的。
But disciple has different interpretation.
Understanding.
Understanding.
那这个哈，其实也是很重要的一个主题。
This is also an important teaching.
因为人常常用自己的主观来看神、看周围的事情。
Because we use our own idea to understand God's will.
以为说应该我看到人家才一个钟工作一个小时，怎么跟我得到做八个小时的工资，所以有点怨不平。
We think it shouldn't be equal between a 1 hour work versus 8 hour work.
那这个就是说需要有解释了，需要有澄清。
So how should we explain this?
因为这里所说的是家族有自主权。
Here talk about the authority.
The autonomy, 或者叫做 sovereignty.
The sovereignty from the landowner.
神，总之说神有绝对自主权 ，divine sovereignty. 神有绝对自主权 ，absolute sovereignty.
So God has absolute sovereignty.
他要叫人，比如说，他就说叫法老硬心就硬心。
He wants the Pharaoh harden his heart.
然后呢，他什么时候要叫摩西带领百姓出，他就在那个时候出去。
At certain time, he wanted Moses to bring Israelites out from Egypt.
所以保罗在罗马书九章就是说，不在乎奔跑，不在乎你的劳力。当然你要奔跑要劳力，但神有绝对自主权。
So Paul told us in the Romans chapter 9, say it's not depend on us, but God.
说我要怜悯谁就怜悯谁，要恩待谁就恩待谁。14:15.
God say that I will have mercy on whoever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whoever.
所以说这个是神的绝对自主权。
So this is the absolute sovereignty from God.
他有他要选择的要做的事。
he would choose certain people and do certain
things. 那当然他也希望说，我们假设从他的观点来看事情的话，就会了解事情为什么这样子。
From God's perspective, we will see why certain things have certain timing.
啊，那所以他就解释了。
And then he explained.
好，那我们就知道说，要服从在神的大能的全能之下。
So we should submit to God.
然后呢，我们再看先看十六节。
Let's continue read verse 16.
那二十章的十六节跟十九章的最后一节三十节都有同样的表述啊。
So Matthew 20 verse 16.
跟十九章的三十节。
And also the 19 verse 30.
在前很多，在前要在后，在后要在前。
Many who are first will be last, and the last first.
那这个意思就是说，表示说，那个你在赛跑的时候。有时候你好像以为说你跑得很快，但不一定，你不一定是第一个，多锦标，达到目标。
For example, in a race, you ran really fast, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you will win.
那这个意思就是说你，也许你对道理很从前很执着，很努力在追求。
For example, you pursue the truth.
第一个真理。那后来呢又比你更努力，那你从前别人家占优势的，那你人家就超越过你。
If someone pursue the truth even more diligent than you could be passed.
你跑得很快，但到最后就到中间就懈怠下来，慢下来，人家跑了坚持在最后呢又冲过你。
If you get lazy or slow down in the middle of the road, people could pass you.
所以说不在乎你看的事情的前面。
So it doesn't matter how great or how good you are at the beginning.
所以说在传道书七章就是说事情的结局比开始还重要。
So in the Ecclesiastes chapter 7 told us that what it matters is at the end, not the beginning.
说事情终结胜于那个起头，开始七章的事情。
In the Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 14.
那这个意思就是说最后的坚持啊，一直持续的努力啊，都是很重要的。不是那个第八节七章第八节。
Chapter 7 verse 8 say the end of thing is better than its beginning.
所以你的起初给你一个应许，给你一个希望。
At the beginning, there is a hope and a promise given.
相信你虽然跑在最前头，最先领受的。
So even you are at the first.
但是因为你松懈下来，人家努力的就超过你。
But for the person that who work even more diligent, that would pass you.
所以这样没有一个很我们叫做 fixation， 没有一个那个定固定的或者非这样不可的一样的一个过程。
So there is no fixation in this process.
所以我们可以看到，就是主耶稣要教导，就是说，只要你也被邀请，你应该进来。
So the teaching behind this is, if you already get an invitation, you should come.
因为神要给你生命。
Because God wants to give you eternal life.
神的国。
To enter His kingdom.
要给你这个工价，神的赏赐。
To give you the wages.
所以你不要在外头闲站。闲等。
So don't be idle outside the vineyard.
因为不管什么时候。
No matter at what time.
不管你是青春时代的早上的九点钟。
No matter as in the morning.
或者你在壮年时代的十二点钟。
Or in your mid age.
或在这个老年时期的五点钟，因为六点钟太阳就下山了。
Or when you grow old.
你只要听到神的呼唤，进来工作吧，到神的家来吧。那你就进去。
As long as you receive the invitation, you should enter.
那你信仰要工作的，信仰要有实际行动表现的。
Our faith require work.
所以你要做工，你要有行动行为，然后你得果子，
结出果子。You should have work and put into action, then bear the fruit.
那神照着你，不管九点、十二点、五点，还是说要生命给你，就给你生命，永远的生命。
No matter what time you start work, according to His promise, He will give you wages.
那我们不按照自己的私意来不明白神的这个宏大的作为。
So we shouldn't We shouldn't try to understand God's grace based on our own understanding.
所以本来有很多的细节要查考，但是就做这样的投石、问路的工、引路的工作，然后让青年人思考一下，啊，这个在这很浅显道理里头有文学、有历史、有那个神学的道理，那我们究竟真的努力来掌握。
And this parable has a lot of complex teaching, and today it's just a little bit taste for us to study the scripture.
好，我们唱诗235首。
Let's sing hymn 235. From 表面的文章有很深入的意义，从历史的教训到我们现今生活上的应用。
As the pillars of the church in the future, the young people in the church need to have very, very well-rounded knowledge of the Bible.
所以教会的青年将来是教会的柱石，要对圣经有更深入的了解。
Number one, how do you expand our ten articles of faith to the outside the church circles?
首先是我们对于基本教义在我们教会以外的应用。
How to pronounce or how to proclaim our message of salvation?
要怎么去宣扬我们所传的。
And that is a doctrine aspect.
这些是在教义的部分。
But for the Bible knowledge,
在圣经的知识方面
we ought to really get the thorough grasp of the text and the context.
我们要在圣经的意义上要抓住它的
它的文本跟它的上下文跟它的背景跟
它的文章的上下文的意义。
So as we expand one typical passage, actually it's not typical or hard or profound, but rather,It's a matter of familiarity.
So, 其实不是说难不难，而是我们
熟悉不熟悉。
我们熟不熟悉。
Because we seldom turn to the Bible thoroughly.
因为我们深入的、仔细的去学习。
We need to really determine to say, no matter in Chinese or in English or even in the other language, I know how to.Understand the true meaning of that word or the diction or the lexicon.
So, 不管是什么样的语言我们要去深入的了解
圣经的意义。So we need to really study.
所以我们要仔细的学习。
And as a series of, as a long accumulated effect of our Bible knowledge, actually it would start from the here and now.
So, 从现在开始就要累积圣经的知识。
Whether in dormitory or at the workplace, you need to really attend to what the Bible means to you.
所以在随时各地都要有圣经我们随时都可以读经。
Then be sure that we know the bilingual, side by side the knowledge of the Bible, whether in Korean, Chinese, or Japanese, but also in the universally used English or other languages.
所以不管是任何的语言。
So it's a matter of effort.
这是事关我们努不努力。
We transform our time spent on like swiping or idle talking into the usefulness of Bible study.
我们把浪费的时间来投注在学习圣经上。
The church will depend upon your effort in the future.
因为我们将来教会都要依赖我们。
Otherwise, our so-called vineyard, our territory will become very barren and very bleak without any fruit.
如果不这么做的话，我们的葡萄园神的国度就会荒芜。
And then your knowledge as a storehouse also will be very sketchy, very very sparse.
你的圣经的基础也会不稳固。
So because we might run at first, but we would we'll fall behind.
我们可能一开始跑在前面，但不能够坚持到整个旅程。
We might be the truth one, the good one,
我们或许是是那好的，是被选的。
In competition, in matches, we just lose the ground.
但最后我们失去了比赛。
So beware about that.
所以我们要更小心。
Now let's pray in one accord for the guidance of the Lord.
那我们一起同心跪下祷告。
We need to do something to develop the church ministry.
我们要为教会的事工来祷告。
And pray for one another.
也为彼此代祷。
Those in need, spiritual as well as physical.
为那些需要的代祷。
And then we pray for them, and we also request God give them more spiritual understanding and spiritual strength.
我们也向神求更多的智慧。